Hello, family. My name is Renee Antrosio, and I am honored to serve both as pastor at New Covenant Fellowship and as a member of our Reparations Committee, along with Gladys Hunt, Vern Fine, Sharon Chubbuck, and Chair Jeffrey Trask. We've been meeting, reading, viewing, listening, and learning about different kinds of reparation initiatives all over the United States as we seek God's direction for us in this area at New Covenant. Our work in 2022 led us to establish the Reparations Fund as an annual line item in the New Covenant budget, which became the focus of our 2022 Thanksgiving offering and is an ongoing separate fund to which any of us can contribute on our personal journeys toward reparations. In 2023, we want to familiarize ourselves with conceptualizing reparations at three different levels: institutional, the macro level, community, the middle level, and family, the micro or individual level. For me, organizing my thinking into these three levels has been immensely helpful in order not to be overwhelmed by the magnitude of the task, to identify concrete actions, and to utilize our gifts and passions. The first level is what I think of as legislative, government, and public institutions. This is the level at which slavery was enacted, protected, and institutionalized. These are the systems of our society where the Jim Crow laws, redlining, discrimination, and legal violence originated and have been perpetuated. Because the harm was committed at the governmental, legislative, and institutional level, that is where the repair needs to also happen. This is a huge task that people all around the country are working for and against. This is the long game, where we work to effect changes that will have the most impact on the most people. It includes advocating for new and reformed policies that create greater equity. We are called to work diligently toward this, educating, voting, advocating, praying, and working. Examples at this level are the City of Evanston reparations, which some of you may have watched on PBS, and the proposed congressional bill H.R. 40 to establish the commission to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans, and things like universities that are addressing their particular use of slave labor, land grabs, and policies that benefited their organization at the expense of Black Americans. When I was in grad school at the University of Chicago, there were two paths of social work concentration: policy and direct service. Everyone in the program started by taking classes in both areas, but fairly quickly we sorted ourselves into those who were excited to work on the macro level to advocate for institutional changes, and those of us who would work directly with clients in schools, hospitals, and other therapeutic systems. My heart and abilities were clearly in direct service on the micro level, working with individual students particularly. Policy change and legislation seemed beyond me. This first level of reparations is the macro level, which over time affects the most people and are large systems that are usually resistant to change. For our NCF Reparations Committee, Vern Fine is the point person for this level of organizing and working for legislative, institutional, and macro systemic change. As I was preparing for this teaching, I was thinking about how Jesus worked for change on all three levels. When he overturned the vendors' tables in the temple, he was protesting systemic injustice. when he called out various leaders for their hypocrisy and failure to serve the people over whom they had power, he was confronting the macro level of institutions that benefited the elite and punished the poor. When I was praying about what text might be appropriate for this teaching, I was surprised to have the healing of the paralyzed man lying by the pool outside the temple come to mind. Today's lectionary passages included Micah 6:8 and the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and the passage in 1 Corinthians about God's foolishness and our wisdom. But this unusual healing in the Gospel of John was the response to my prayer for my part. There are several systems at work in this story. The system of sick people waiting by the pool for an angel to stir the water so that the first person in could be healed. The system of the law of the Sabbath. And the system of religious hierarchy and authority. Jesus interferes with all three systems when he singles out the paralyzed man from all the sick people and heals just that one, tells him to pick up his mat and carry it home on the Sabbath, and then aligns himself as doing his Father God's work, implying that the church leaders are not. This is the kind of work that gets people killed. Systems resist change. Leaders do not like to be challenged. People benefiting from a system fight back. The prophetic work of calling out injustice is only popular with the people at the bottom, not with the people in power who are invested in the status quo. Jesus was not eliminating systems, but he was redefining and reinterpreting those systems in ways that made people uncomfortable. The work of reparations at the macro systemic level is going to be hard. There will be resistance. Sometimes that will look like people saying that it should be done another way. There were 6 days that Jesus could heal and tell people to carry their beds home. What would waiting one more day, or thinking ahead and healing a day earlier, have made to a guy who'd been paralyzed for 30 years? Jesus could have made an effort to make his work fit with the system of Sabbath, but instead he pushed people to rethink what Sabbath really meant. And what about all those other sick people lying there? It wasn't fair that Jesus only healed one person. That guy didn't even know who Jesus was or ask Jesus to heal him. There were certainly more deserving people there that needed Jesus's attention. What makes me uncomfortable is how much Jesus was criticized and hated. He made enemies in powerful places. I would have questioned myself, isn't there a way to share the good news without making people mad? Couldn't we help people without sparking debate and anger? Criticism makes me second guess myself. It isn't obviously a sign of getting it right. I would like to accomplish all the good things without the discomfort of being hated. The song from my childhood that comes to mind is a cover that Bob Dylan sang called "They Killed Him," about Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and Jesus. Kris Kristofferson doesn't offer us perfect theology, but his lyrics remind us that those working for systemic change, if they push too hard against the powerful, the system will attempt to eliminate that voice and squash the movement. But when the work of justice is the Lord, the movement is ongoing. And we are called to be part of that as well.